within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Purpose. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, I am this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. Until the living entity is aloof from the association and contaminations of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. Nayavate tan mana atmalingam samsara tapavapanam janasya jachoka mohamaya raga lopa vairanubandham mamatam vidate. The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Buddhale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this section of the Bhagavatam, as in many others, we are hearing about how the mind affects our existence, or what we do in life, and how we perceive the world. And actually, the mind is described here as the cause of all tribulations. Samsara tapavapanam janasya means, Prabhupada translates avapanam as the growing ground. The mind is the growing ground of samsara tapa, the suffering that we experience in the repeated cycle of birth and death. Continuously we are experiencing suffering, different types of sufferings. The world is named tapatraya, which means the place where we experience three types of suffering. Sufferings coming from other living beings, sufferings coming from our own body and the mind, sufferings arising from nature, from the weather, the influence of the planets, the different changes that occur in nature, heat, cold, earthquakes, etc. But actually, the mind is described here and in other places as the real place where the suffering takes place. Even if the external conditions are difficult, if our mind responds in a happy way, then we are not suffering, actually. We do not suffer. If we perceive the extreme condition, we see the good in it, then we may feel it's okay, it's not that bad. Like we know that whenever there is some suffering, there is also some reason. That fact that creates the suffering also can create some happiness, produces an occasion for happiness, isn't it? And there are many sayings in different parts of the world emphasizing this, that whatever bad thing happens, for example, I was born in Spain, I'm sure you are from many different countries. In your own country, you must have a way of saying it. In Spain, we will say, no hay mal que por bien no venga. The meaning is, there is nothing bad that doesn't come for a good reason. The English version is, what's the English version? The English version of that everything bad that occurs brings something good. What will be, I'm asking, because every cloud? Good, thank you. Every cloud has a silver lining. So there is a cloud, but okay, it's a good cloud. It has a silver lining. Whatever cloud it may be. What about in Dutch? How do you say it? No? You say like that? After rain comes sunshine. So it's like accepting, okay, there is a problem, but something good is coming after. How do they say in Hong Kong? What's the same? It's similar in Chinese. It's about the cloud. Okay, so it's very similar to Japanese. To Dutch. I don't mean very similar to Dutch. So we see but that's there. Whenever there is a challenge, there is an opportunity, and we will say that from the devotional point of view, we will say that whatever test Krishna is putting before us has a reason. Krishna is giving us an opportunity to do something for him, or if it hurts, it means we need to purify something. It's like, for example, if I have a wound on my arm and somebody touches, I will feel pain. So the pain is telling me I have to be careful, there is something I need to heal. So similarly, when there is pain in the mind, in whatever situation takes place in life, we should look, okay, what is the lesson I need to learn from this particular experience? So, the suffering is in the mind, and therefore in Bhagavad Gita we find many verses. In chapter 6, Krishna explains that the mind can be the worst enemy, or the mind can become the best friend. And Krishna says the mind which is uncontrolled is the worst enemy. The controlled mind becomes the best friend. So a lot of what goes on in life for people, for us, Janasya says here, the people, is related to how we perceive things, how we perceive the world. And how do we respond to the situations according to that particular perception? And therefore the process of yoga, we find so many descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishads about yoga. The process of yoga is the discipline for self-realization which aims to control the mind. And the idea is to change the focus of attention or the focus of absorption. Srila Prabhupada in the Purport writes, until the living entity is aloof from the association and contaminations of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, enmity. So this is the condition of the most of the people. We generally in this material world, this is the human condition. We are absorbed in issues of birth, right? When somebody takes birth in the community, we feel very happy. It's an occasion for celebration. When somebody dies in the community, we feel sad. As devotees, we may have mixed feelings when we see that the person died in Krishna consciousness or appears to pass away in Krishna consciousness. We have the mixed feelings, sadness, that the dear one left, and the joy that has gone closer to Krishna. So it's a different type of perception already, very different, totally different. But still, generally, death is connected to feeling sad. Somebody is leaving. Disease makes us feel also uncomfortable. Generally, we don't like to be ill, isn't it? Sometimes we may like to, it's an occasion to disconnect from the world a little bit when we become ill. And therefore some people say that illness may be, some experts in the science of medicine, they talk about the psychosomatic illnesses, that any illness is connected to a condition of the mind. And we may become ill to keep distance from others or take rest. We need rest simply. It's the body is asking us for rest. Or maybe calling attention from others. Nobody is caring for us, or we may do it. I don't mean consciously. I don't say we do it consciously. But somebody may become ill. It's a way also of attracting the care and the attention of other people in the family or the community. Illusion is generally the way we perceive things. We see things that are not there in a specific way. We see something, we interpret it in a particular way. We imagine that such and such person, for example, didn't greet me because doesn't like me, but it may be the case the person was thinking of something else, didn't see us, or was talking to somebody and was focused on that conversation, and that's why he or she didn't greet us. So many of things that we experience, of the feelings, experiences we go through in life, are connected to an illusory perception of the facts. Or we could say, we read the facts in a particular way, and that produces a particular feeling to us. And then we feel happy or sad with the same experience. The same person at a different moment may feel very happy or very depressed. So this is the nature of the mind. It's very, it goes through many fluctuations. And therefore, the science of yoga says that the definition of Patanjali Muni of yoga is yogas chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga means to stop the fluctuations of the mind. Vritti. These are the vrittis. All the changes. Kalpa vikalpa. We accept, we reject. I like, I don't like. And then Prabhupada talks here also about that our absorption is focused on our attachments. We become attached to people, to places, to circumstances, to objects, to also to our own ways of thinking and looking at the world. Greed, also the mind focuses on having more, getting more money, more possessions, more position, and enmity, competing with other people who we feel threat, whatever our attachments, our possessions, etc. So this is the absorption of material life, Srila Prabhupada explains. And the process of yoga consists on shifting our absorption from that material, those material aspects or experiences of life, to an experience of the pure self. The pure self, the Atma, and the relationship that the self has with the Supreme Soul, with Krishna, with God. This is actually yoga. And the real yoga takes place when the soul becomes absorbed in on Krishna with love, out of natural attraction, natural love. That's the real yoga. When the mind becomes absorbed in Vrindavan, he also, but Vrindavan, so becomes absorbed in Vrindavan. This was the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wanted that his mind becomes Vrindavan. This is also described in Upadeshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. He says that the essence of all instruction of all good advice is that we should engage the tongue and the mind properly. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smritiokramena rasana manasini yojya tishtam vraje tattanuragi chananugami kalam nayeta kilamiti upadesha saram. The essential advice is that we engage the tongue and the mind in a gradual manner. Kramena means gradually. This is the process of yoga. It is a gradual absorption. We engage them, these two activities or these two elements, on chanting and remembering. So the tongue will be engaged in chanting and the mind will be engaged in remembering. This is normally what we do. Srila Prabhupada describes the functions of the mind as thinking, feeling, and willing. And all this is connected to remembering. We remember things we perceive, we think about. This will be kind of more, theoretical, intellectual approach to perceiving things. We think of objects, we think of situations, we analyze them with intelligence. Sometimes the subtle body, here the term, another term used is Atmalingam. Atmalingam is translated by Srila Prabhupada as existing as the false designation of the soul. So the linga is the false designation. Sometimes the subtle body is described as linga sharira. Linga sharira is the body, the conceptual body. How do we perceive things? Linga sharira, atma lingam, the designation of the atma. But actually it is a false designation. The natural designation is, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Jivera Svarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, eternally servants of Krishna. This is our natural designation. We are servants of God. And in that Krishna Sambandha, in that relationship with Krishna, we experience happiness. We experience meaning in life. There is a real reason to, a permanent real reason to live. In the material, in the Atma Lingam, also many times we feel very thrilled in life. There is a permanent reason, not a permanent, there is a reason to live. But it is not permanent. Because it is depending on the external conditions and in the fluctuations of the mind. And therefore will go up and down. But when we engage the mind, as Rupa Goswami says, gradually engaging the mind in remembering Krishna, and Krishna means tat tan nama, Krishna's name, like we practice daily japa meditation, remembering Krishna's name and listening to it very carefully, hopefully. Many times we do it very automatically, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it happens to me many times. It's an automatic, we do it as a routine, but how much attention do we pay to the holy name of the Lord? Tannama, Rupa, Krishna's form, looking at the divine form of the Lord in the temple, or within our heart, or Krishna's pictures, We can remember Krishna in many different ways. Nama, Rupa, Charita. Charita means character. Krishna's qualities. How much Krishna loves his devotees. How much Krishna extends himself for the suffering jivas. For example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes to give mercy even to people who do not deserve it. So this is meditating on Krishna's qualities. How, for example, Krishna gives mercy to Putana. She comes to kill him and he gives her love. He accepts her as mother, seeing only the good in her behavior. So, Nama Charita, Charita Adi. Adi refers to etc. Means Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, very early, one of the first books he published was Krishna Book, so that we can read about Krishna's activities and we can remember Krishna and we can dream with Krishna. In the I don't say this doesn't happen anymore, but it used to be a tradition in the early days, and His Grace Krishna Kshetra Prabhu will testify that reading the tradition was to read Krishna book at night, get together, read Krishna book while drinking milk. Isn't it? That was kind of a tradition. I don't say this doesn't happen anywhere, but I would dare to say that probably it happens. I mean, it's difficult to dare to do statistics because there are many devotees at home. Maybe people are doing at home. But I will venture to say that probably it happens less, even though we are more. We are more devotees around the world. In the early days, we were less devotees. But every group of devotees will get together and read Krishna book at night with the idea of ending the day in a very sweet note. And then going to bed and remembering Krishna while sleeping. Because Srila Prabhupada says in the translation of the verse that one should remember Krishna 24 hours a day. So that means dreaming about Krishna. So if we are not doing it, maybe it means, and I include myself, because I don't dream of Krishna so often. I dream of devotees more often, but not of Krishna so often. So of course, so we, it may mean we need to read more about Krishna in order to remember him. And this is the way, the process of absorbing the mind. By hearing, and by chanting about Krishna, the mind focuses on Krishna and gradually becomes absorbed. This is the process of, in yoga, the process of samyama, concentration, meditation, and absorption. And this is the practice. Hearing about Krishna, concentration on Krishna, then prolonging that concentration or that remembrance from only from time to time, and more remembering Krishna with more frequency, to absorption, to seeing everything in connection to Krishna. And this changes the life or the destiny of a particular soul. Before opening for comments and questions, I like to read something from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's part of the Uddhava Gita. Lord Krishna instructing his devotee Uddhava. Is the song of the Avanti Brahmana, because in that particular section, the Avanti Brahmana, who was a person very materialistic during one period of his life, later on he was transformed by his life experience and by the mercy of the Lord. Perhaps also in a previous life he had it is not described, but we can assume that perhaps he had some spiritual merits, and therefore that experience of suffering transformed his perception, and then he became completely absorbed on spiritual perspectives or spiritual experience, realization. So I'll read some verses and comment a little bit. And this is in the context, Lord Krishna and Uddhava both are commenting that actually it is one of the most difficult situations to overcome is when people, and especially dear ones, speak to us in a harsh way. When there are bad relationships and we receive insults from others, we feel very hurt. Verbal abuse, or when we are abused by other people. And this will especially apply when the closer the people are to us, the more painful it is. And it becomes very difficult actually to bear such a situation. So in that context, the Lord tells the story of a Brahmana of a place named Avanti. It's Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj in the purport, quoting Sridhara Swami, mentions a district of Malwa. I connected always Avanti with Ujjain, but I don't know if, because it mentions the country of Avanti, and here Sridhara Swami is referring to the district of Malwa. Do we know district of Malwa, what it is? Malwa, it mentions he was a Brahmana who was doing business. He was engaged in banking. Anyway, that's a place in India named Avanti. And this Brahmana, he was actually a very miser person. He was wealthy. He got many donations. He was making his transactions and getting good money. But he will not use it in a wise way. It describes that not even for himself. He will not spend money for himself even in what he deserves according to religious principles. What will be considered as part of his quota, not even that. And he will be attached to the money. And then he will mistreat his family members. He will not treat them nicely, and as a result of it, they will not treat him with affection. So it will be mutual. And the relationship in the family was a very tense one. They were fighting all the time. They were not communicating by speaking, but by shouting to each other. And frequently insulting each other. That was the situation. I'll read now some verses. In this way, the presiding deities of the five family sacrifices became angry at the Brahmana, who being niggardly, what's the meaning of niggardly? Like Mysore? Being niggardly, guarded his wealth like a yaksha, who had no good destination, either in this world or the next, and who was totally deprived of religiosity and sense enjoyment. O magnanimous Uddhava, by his neglect of these demigods, he depleted his stock of piety and all his wealth. The accumulation of his repeated exhaustive endeavors was totally lost. Some of the wealth of this so-called Brahmana was taken away by his relatives, my dear Uddhava, some by thieves, some by the whims of providence. That's an interesting expression. The whims of providence, whatever that means. Some by the effects of time, some by ordinary men, and some by government authorities. Finally, when his property was completely lost, he who never engaged in religiosity or sense enjoyment became ignored by his family members. Thus, he began to feel unbearable anxiety. So you can imagine, in the beginning, his strength was on his wealth. He will manipulate people and relationships by his wealth. But when he didn't have anything to manipulate with, then his family members rejected him. And then he felt very anxious. I have nothing where to hold on to. What I do now with my life. Sometimes when we are attached to a particular situation or people or place, and then we lose that place, then we feel unbearable anxiety. Having lost all his wealth, he felt great pain and lamentation. His throat choked up with tears, and he meditated for a long time on his fortune. Then a powerful feeling of renunciation came over him. So after the clouds, the sunshine came upon him. And therefore sometimes it's a good experience to lose something or to be put in a very extreme situation, maybe a good situation, an opportunity to grow. Generally, it is like that. The Brahmana spoke as follows. Oh, what great misfortune! I have simply tormented myself uselessly, struggling so hard for money that was not even intended for religiosity or material enjoyment. What to speak of using it for pure spiritual activities, for the service of God, for liberation, nor even for a decent practice of religious life and living nicely in this world in a religious attitude. So the Brahmana continues speaking in this way. All the qualities he had, whatever qualities he had developed, are destroyed by greed. Greed destroys the good qualities of the people. And then he speaks about different bad qualities that affect the conditioned soul. and this, for example, he talks about theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, etc. All these qualities are undesirable. And when deciding to achieve the real benefit of life, Shreyas, ultimate benefit, should therefore remain aloof from undesirable material wealth. Even a man's brothers, wife, parents, and friends, united with him in love, will immediately break off their affectionate relationships and become enemies over a single coin. So sometimes when there is money in the middle, the money can pollute any relationship, and therefore we read in the Bhagavatam that Maharaj Parikshit gave the personality of Kali the place where there is gold as his living, his residential place. So, and in the Bhagavatam we find also descriptions how gold is compared to yellow stool. It's very glittering, but it actually pollutes things. Of course, it can be used in the service of Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada said, if gold is offered to me, when he saw the picture of a particular Swami, or so-called Swami, saying money was offered to him, and he was going like that, and Prabhupada joked that if they offer it to me, I will do like this. Because the money can be used in the service of the Lord. And if properly used, there is no harm in having it. But here the Brahmana says that money will pollute relationships. And even people who are very close will become enemies. And then he implores, he continues reflecting on this line of thought, and he implores for the mercy of Krishna. And he expresses his desire that Krishna becomes pleased with him. That's his aspiration. When Krishna, when the Lord, will become satisfied with me. And finally he says, I would like to become like Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga took shelter of Krishna at the time of death, and he realized now is coming the end of my life. I lost everything. I only have Krishna. So I want to take shelter of Krishna, as Maharaj Katvanga did. And then he started to, well, after that he was actually mistreated as he took sannyas, and he started to travel to different places, and he traveled in a way which he will not be recognized. He will look like a beggar, a real beggar, like a person not very clean and not a wise person, like Jadabharata was in the chapter we are reading, prior to revealing his wisdom. And people were mistreating him in a similar way as Jadabharata's brothers and other people will mistreat him. People will urinate on his foot when he will have some alms. People will even tie him up as if he was an animal. They will abuse him verbally, physically, in many different ways. And the point I wanted to reach is his reflection. He starts singing, there is what is called the Bhikshu Gita, or the Song of the Beggar. And the first verse of the song describes the mind, how the mind is the cause of the suffering. The Brahmana says, Nayam janome sukha dukha hetur na deva tatma graha karma kala manak param karana mamananti samsara chakram parivarta yetyat. These people, they are mistreating him, they are torturing him. And he says, these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods, my own body, the planets. Sometimes we look at Rahu. We blame Rahu for our misfortune. And we are looking at the chart every 2 days to calculate when we will get out of the Rahu period, isn't it? Or the Shani period, Saturn. Well, it depends. And when will the Jupiter or the Venus period come, depending on our desires. But here the Brahmana says, it is not the planets. The planets, my past work or time. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. It is only the mind. Rahu can be our friend if we see whatever it comes, we use it in the service of the Lord. If we are losing everything, if we are sent away of a particular place, that may give us success elsewhere. That may happen. And even if we are suffering, if we do not achieve success like the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, Jatayu, he was defeated by Ravana. He fought, but he lost the fight. Still, he was a winner because the Lord personally acknowledged his service and he performed his funerary ceremonies. And naturally took him back home, back to Godhead. He was his associate and he went back to him. Thank you very much. If you like to ask questions or make comments.
One question I had was about the money. That this Baba was saying, I didn't earn for shame.
I didn't?
He wasn't earning it for religious.
Yeah, because according to the four Purusharthas, the Vedic Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So the religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. So he was so miser that he would not spend the money even properly to perform proper yagyas. That would be for religiosity. And for sense gratification, he would not enjoy, for example, say like nice prasad, like a decent prasad. Out of miserliness, not out of austerity or natural sacrifice. Like we have sometimes devotees, they eat the austerely, but it's because they do it in a natural way, they like to eat like that, in a simple way. But he was doing it out of miserliness. So that was, he was so miser, he would not spend for himself. He was not even spending on sanctification. He was not spending, he was keeping it. I don't know if you saw, there was one, when I was a child, I saw a film. I don't know the title in English, but it is, the literal translation will be the Miser. And there was one fellow, an old person, he was keeping the money, and the whole film will illustrate that mentality of a greedy person who will accumulate and will not share with anybody, nor even with himself. So he was enjoying accumulating more and more. Yes, you are right that what may be favorable for us in a particular moment, I mean, say for example, in the youth, something may be favorable, but in old age, that very same thing will not be favorable. Take for example, marriage. Marriage for a young man or woman may be favorable for a spiritual life, to find a balance and to develop like a nice Krishna conscious lifestyle. For an old man, maybe unfavorable to do the same. It's the same activity, but for the same person, it changes due to the variation of circumstances. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his book Bhakti Aloka, commentary on verses 2 and 3 of Upadeshamrita, that the niyamas means things we, principles we follow, rules, positive rules for a spiritual advancement, the niyamas may change at different periods. And therefore, niyama graha may mean to be attached to niyamas who do not belong to us anymore. There are certain rules we're following, but those rules are not relevant anymore for us. So we shouldn't follow a rule just for the sake of the rule. If the rule is an impediment to increase my love for Krishna, then I'd rather abandon that rule. Of course, it shouldn't be done whimsically. But like, for example, if I impose on myself, I'm going to do this, a particular austerity. And that austerity, what it's doing is that I'm thinking, I'm doing great fasting, but then I'm thinking more of food than before I was fasting. So then what's the point? I'm not remembering Krishna. I'm remembering food. Better remember the food for 20 minutes, eat it, and then think of Krishna than being fasting for hours or days and thinking frequently more time than we will be eating. For example, like that, there may be many different rules we may impose on ourselves which are not helpful for a spiritual life. Or maybe helpful at a particular time, but not helpful later on in a different situation. And we should be aware of this and consulting with the spiritual master and devotees we trust, we feel comfortable consulting, seniors or peers, we take decisions on what is best, what is favorable for serving Krishna in our life. Any last point, comment or question? Yes. Yes, go. Correct. Yes, that's what the Brahman is saying. That it's in the mind. That suffering is on the mind by perceiving oneself as victim, but not only victim. Victim is one example, but also as enjoyer, as exploiter, as. Okay. Correct, that's correct. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.